Hey, welcome to episode 61 of the 1023 Soul Shop Talk podcast. This week we have something, it's not slightly different, it's totally different. This entire week, every single day, there's going to be an episode. And rather than being a like an abstract topic of something that we want to talk about, what we decided to do is, leading up to Black Friday, we're going to have conversations with guys, with your call-ins. And we recorded this conversation so we can share them with you and hopefully add some context to like our recommendations, like why we recommend, what we recommend, and when. Especially leading up to Black Friday, like right now, you know, we're 5 days out from Black Friday, and every year, you're all diesel heads like us. So, you're looking to buy parts, and, it's really easy to make the wrong choices. So this is, I think, is a good opportunity for us to, rather than just try to, you know, bombard you with, you know, text and emails and social media, you know, posts that are trying to tell you why stuff is cheaper. We're gonna share conversations we have with guys like you, that are like meet you where you are. So we can answer your questions, put together a build list, which is the important part. And at the end of it, you're gonna have a link down below with a list of what we'd recommend for the build that matches this conversation. So those will always be updated. Save those links. And enjoy the conversation. Let us know what you think about this, because honestly, if you enjoy it and you find it more useful to hear us answering questions that you're asking, your feedback is immensely helpful here. So send us an email, media@1023.com, and check it out every day. If you have 7-3 friends, you know, share the show, because at a minimum, the next 5 days, there's going to be a release every single day. That's just a conversation on 7-3 builds with guys just like you. So today's build, it's a 2001 7-3 on 40s. The guy's intending to use it for camping. His family's going to drive it. He needs it to be reliable, but he does want more power than a stock truck with just a hydro tune. So check out the build list in the description and save that link, because we're going to keep it updated with whatever the parts recommendations are at the time. Thanks, guys, for listening. Enjoy the show. So I've got your form here. If you don't mind, though, okay, Fill me in a little bit on what exactly it is that I can help you with today. If you could walk away from this conversation, okay, Having gotten the info you're looking for, what would that be?
Yeah, okay, I'll make it real simple for you. I'll tell you the best thing that you did was when you did that show, your podcast on can a 7-3 make 6-7 power? Mm-hmm. That pretty much right there, that explained a lot. So Good. That kind of took away unrealistic goals or anything else that used to be in my mind with a 7-3, especially after I drove my brother's 6-7, went to Idaho and drove his 6-7, his new one. It's a 23, and mm-hmm. We towed I think it was only like a 14,000-pound trailer, but we drove for 7 hours. I drove like 3 of those hours, and I can't even believe how those trucks drive next to, you know, a 7-3. I mean, it's just, there's no comparison.
There's not.
I mean, it stayed in the turbo the whole time. We were getting like 17 miles a gallon pulling this trailer. The truck was just unbelievable. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and I was going to drive my 7-3 from Arizona to Idaho to go on this hunt. And, man, it would have cost me $1,000 of fuel to go there and back. Yeah, it was an eye opener after driving a 6-7. Like, you just can't get a 7-3. I don't think there's anything you can do to make it even close to what the new trucks can do.
Yeah, it's very different technology. Also a lot more money. So we can certainly make 7-3s good trucks. And they even from the factory were good trucks. But yeah, you're not going to make old technology the same as new technology.
No, I mean, it was definitely an eye opener. So, I also have a 2012 Ram, the 6.7, the high output. And, but my 7.3, when I compare it to that truck, they're neck and neck on a lot of things, you know? So it was a big jump to go from, you know, my 7.3 to my Ram and then driving a new 6.7. Like, yeah, there's major differences in all, you know, or the major difference in the newer trucks from sure. even, you know, even a 2012 Ram. I mean, that doesn't, it doesn't come close.
Yeah.
So, but as far as my 7.3 goes, so what I'm doing with it, I know when I sent you the build sheet, how the truck's built right now, it's sitting on 40 inch tires. So I know rolling resistance and all about it. And I don't care what I do to the truck. I can't get, you know, any kind of fuel mileage out of it with that type of rolling resistance, even with the gears that I put in it. So I'm not unrealistic about that. I was going to keep it that way just for dumb reasons. Cause I don't use the truck that much. It only has 100,000 miles. It just sits covered up in my garage. I mean, this year alone, I've only put, I think 200 miles on the truck, 300 miles on it, and just okay. fired up here and there. And the only reason I don't get rid of it, it was just, something I bought for myself, the first new truck I ever bought. And because it pisses my wife off that I still have it. So, told her that, you know, she's going before the truck. So I use it for just towing down to the launch ramp here and there. And, like I said, I got it when I was 25 or 24 years old, 24. And, I just, haven't wanted to get rid of it. So, but I liked how it sat, liked it big, but it's impractical. So within
what,
the last
40 inch tires are impractical. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, when I was 25, they weren't. It was awesome at 25. it served its purpose. But yeah, now almost being 50, yeah, we even with amp steps, doesn't work. Yeah. But it kept my wife from driving that truck ever. So, you know.
If that's what the goal is, then I suppose you can leave it. all right, so what can I help you with?
Okay, so what I'm looking to do is, I'm going to change the truck around. I'm going to put 37s on it. I'm going to actually put an 8-inch lift on it, and I'm going to put a big camper shell, a sliding camper shell now. Cause I was just, the truck really hasn't, like I said, hasn't served much purpose. So now I'm going to put a slide in camper and lower it down and use it for now my wife or my daughter or son to go on just camping trips and have that instead of having to always tow a fifth wheel. Or a bumper pull trailer that we have okay. both. So keeping the truck cool now knowing that I'm gonna have a load in the truck. What do you think? Read my what I told you. What I already have with it. Because I do have a John Wood transmission when he was building the big transmissions. I have that transmission. Everything else is the turbo stock. The injectors are stock. The oil, the fuel stock. Other than the the intake is, you know, it's the riffraff intake, and then it's, you know, straight pipes with the bellowed down pipes, and I think anything else done to it. Pretty much the truck side, then it has a programmer in it, the
Hydra.
The Hydra.
Yep.
Yeah, it has the Hydra in it. Yeah, that John Wood put in there, and he did the big transmission cooler and all that. So listening to your podcast really helps because it sounds like my questions always were what size injectors. I was always going to go KC with their stage one. And just, that's what I was going to do until I basically started listening to your podcast. And it was like, you just said, it sounded like injector size doesn't matter. It's the programming that matters with the injectors. So, you know, why limit yourself or not, you know, on going a 180, 30% nozzle. And then the stage one turbo, I don't have a problem with it at all. I just don't, like I said, after listening to a lot of your stuff, it's like, I don't want to build heat. I'm not racing the truck. I just want it to stay cool and get as much power out of that thing as I can, but not, you know, if I can prove my mileage, great. But, like I said, I'm not unrealistic about that. Even with 37s on there, it's just, how do I stay cool and build power? And what should I do as far as oil, fuel, should I do the injectors and a turbo and just go from there? If you had this truck thrown at you like that, you know, what would you do?
Okay. So do you want to make more power than it makes now?
I'd love to make a lot more power than it makes now. I mean, no lie. I'd love to make as much power as I can without having to do head studs and, you know, blowing things without having to get into the engine, that would be great.
Okay. So the truck isn't driven a lot. It's going to be used just, you know, a little bit as a kind of a family camping rig, and a cruise around truck every once in a while. Is that, am I understanding that correct? But it's not like, it's not a pretty daily much, driver. Yep. It's not towing a lot, but it will have a slide in camper in it. Is there any problems with the truck now? Is like, is there anything that you know needs to be addressed, or is it pretty much a healthy truck as it sits right this moment?
No, it's a healthy truck. Doesn't drip a drip of oil. Like I said, the transmission, everything's solid on it. Nothing. I do, like I said, I will tow with it. I do have a bumper pool 30-foot trailer that I will use, that I'll use it to tow. Cause I have a drop down hitch and I'll reinforce and stuff. So I do tow sometimes out to the desert or things like that. But, it pretty much is my secondary truck. My Ram is my primary that I have the fifth wheel, receiver in and stuff, and use that more or less.
Sure. All right. Are you going to be doing the work on it? Are you going to have a shop do any repairs?
No, I want to try to do as much as I can. In Arizona where I'm at, there's maybe one shop that I would trust, but the turbo, the injectors, I've watched, you know, millions of videos probably the last 10 years. I mean, yeah, I can do that. No, I mean, that just looks like fun. The fuel system, like all the other questions I have of fuel systems and crossovers and bull deletes, I've watched videos. Now that looks simple enough. And then all the stuff, as far as the big oil going to a bigger oil pump, that is pretty damn simple. So everything looks pretty simple on the 7.3. And I just like to do it myself because I know it gets done, you know, hopefully right. I do it right, but everything's tightened up and then I know what I did. And if something sounds wrong or it drives wrong or something goes wrong, at least I know what I did and I can point to someone like, hey, I did this and, you know, here's where you should probably look. Or if I take it somewhere, I have no clue.
Sure. Well, at the end of the day, you already, like if you have a hider in the truck, that's already going to make as much power as it can with stock injectors. So if you want more, then the answer is you have to upgrade the injectors. The break point on where I would say like the first break point for reliability is should you go past stock injectors? Because once you do, it's not that it doesn't matter what injectors you have, but as soon as you step away from stock injectors to any other injector, all the other mods follow whatever the injector size is. And the injector size is going to follow whatever the goal of the truck is. But once you deviate from stock, then you open yourself up to a whole world of, it's just a new world. So lots of new issues, lots of new experiences. It's going to drive different. It's going to idle different. It's going to be different to work on for better or for worse. It just will not be like stock anymore. The thing to decide is initially, do you want more you want more power? And if that's the case, then it's upgrading the injectors. And once that decision's made and you know you're good with the, you know, deviating from stock, then it's just a matter of, okay, well, let's pick a number and here's the parts list. The simple thing is picking what parts to get to a power level. I mean, we've done that thousands of times. The difficult thing is deciding what that should be. So,
exactly.
Basically, if the truck is going to work, I would not recommend, and this kind of falls within your, you know, your guardrail anyway, of you don't want to do head studs and valve springs and stuff. If the truck is going to work, and it sounds like it will be, you know, even with a camper in it, and if it's going to be driven by lots of people, so it kind of needs to not be a, difficult to drive.
Someone's got to know how to drive it where they, if they don't know how to monitor the systems, they can have a problem.
Yeah. Then I would not do anything larger than a 180/30 injector. So any like stage 1.5 injector.
Okay.
And that's for both of those reasons. One, that's really as big as you can go without a 30% nozzle is as big as you can go without worrying about the top end of the engine too much. Okay. And once you get into like 80 or 100% nozzles, it very much changes the game on the rest of the build, and it will turn the truck into a, it will have its own personality that sure anybody could probably drive it, but I don't know that I'd want to throw everybody behind the wheel without understanding what they're driving. So,
Okay. Okay. For better sake of the conversation, if it were just me, which it won't be, would you, like I said, I was always stuck on the 180-30s until I started listening to a lot of your stuff where it sounded like you should perhaps go bigger or build bigger, but you can program it and run the turbos and run the things to make it more efficient at, you know, so you don't have to run it at its capacity. So you always have that, but, or was that, is it just better to go with the 180-30s and not even mess with, like you said, like kind of doing 100% nozzles, all that kind of crap?
If you're not planning on building the rest of the truck to handle 100% nozzle, then there's no reason to buy 100% nozzle. There's no reason to give yourself the problems that come with that. Like it would.
Okay.
The bigger injectors you go with, the more problems you're going to run into. And that could be anything from, like you said, the way it starts or idles or it smokes or if it runs poorly, trying to figure out what's going on with it. Getting tuning dialed in, like everything, everything becomes bigger when you put bigger injectors in it. That could be fine if you're going to build the truck and you want the power that they bring. But if you're not intending to use it, or you're not intending to build the truck for it, then there's no sense in dealing with those problems either.
Oh, okay. And when you say all the supporting mods going past the 180-30, are we talking, is it just the stuff that I want to do anyway? If it's recommended by you, just even on a stock motor, as far as doing the, like the fuel system with like the four line feeds, and I don't know about a bowl delete or keeping it. I was going to ask you about that, and doing all the stuff, like the hutch mods and all that to the tank, and then getting the big oil. Like if it were a stock engine, do you still want to do all those other types of, you know, cool things that have come out in the last few years to just make that engine, you know, stock, if they were just stock, even better and more efficient, run better? Or are those necessary needs if you go bigger than a 180-30? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be different parts depending on what the end goal is. If the goal is to use the stage 1.5 injector, and those injectors are what we choose that fits, you know, your outline, then there are some fuel system mods, and there are some, like, if in this case, let me be specific. If that's the injector you go with, I would recommend keeping the fuel bowl, using a four line feed kit that keeps the fuel bowl. I would recommend some sort of hutch mod and adding a filter between the tank and the pump. You're probably going to have to upgrade the high pressure oil pump and in order to be able to keep up with any aftermarket injector. But that's something you can validate later. And you're going to upgrade the turbo, and you will still need to upgrade and change those things. Even if you went with a bigger injector, it would just be different components. So like if, let's say you went up to a 205/80 injector and you wanted to make closer to 500 horsepower, then the build changes because now you're going to do a complete fuel system, remove the fuel bowl. You're going to need head studs, valve springs, push rods, a different, like, larger high pressure oil pump. Probably, you're going to need, your transmission should be fine. You just say this truck is? Is it a 99?
It's an 01. It's 01. An 01. No, it's 01. So it has the powder rods. That's why I'm careful on what I do.
Yeah. So in that case, I mean, that's a guardrail anyway. If you want an engine that's going to stay together, then there's no chance I'd recommend more than a 30% nozzle on that engine. There's a very high chance if you go bigger than that, you will huck a rod.
Really? Oh, see, that's what I don't want. So that's why I just even make it easier for you, because you're probably like, gosh damn, where's this guy going? Because what's the horsepower on the truck stock?
Bone stock, they make about 200 horsepower to the ground.
About 200 to the ground. Okay, so I think I've heard on your show, like 400 horsepower, I think is like the number I think I've heard you or guests talk about. Maybe it's a little bit more. That there's a peak number somewhere before you're like, okay, now you're going to run into the problem, especially with my engine, the 01s. And that's the number I'm looking for. That's the number I'll shoot for. And that's where then it's just asking you, like, how do I get there to do it once and do it right? Like,
yeah,
basically
it'd be a stage 1.5 injector. Like if you're going to, if you want to make as much power as you can make without a high risk of hucking a rod, That would be like a 180/30 injector. That would be the max size, which will equate to like that injector with the proper supporting mods would equate to around 400 horsepower to the ground, like wide open throttle in a race tune. And I guess if you want a reference point, basically a totally stock truck, removing like large tires and stuff like that, a totally stock truck that's totally healthy makes about 200 horsepower to the ground as a peak number. If you put a race tune on a stock truck, if everything is working well, it'll make about 300 horsepower to the ground. And if you go up to a stage 1.5 injector, and again, if everything is working right, you have proper supporting mods, it'll make about 400 to the ground. So you gain about the same power and sort of the same, like across the board, the same kind of power going from a tuned stock injector truck to a like stage 1.5 build. So a similar gain is going from stock to tuned as is what you'll get going from a tuned truck to a, you know, stage 1.5 style build, if that makes sense. But that is the limit on what's going to be reliable. In other words, like avoid catastrophic failure.
Oh, okay. Now, are those 180/30 nozzles, are those single shot or are they hybrids? Usually, traditionally, they're single shot, I think, correct?
Well, those are two different things. They are single shots. They are not hybrids, but all hybrids are also single shots. So
the nozzle we have in a stock one is a split shot. I'm sorry, not even hybrid. I meant a split shot. The nozzles we have now in a stock truck are split shot.
Correct.
Going to a stage 1.5, going to a single shot. That's where I was going into. Am I talking like some major or tuning problems with the chip I have now? I got to send it back out or get the tune sent to me because it doesn't tune the same. Correct. When you go to that single shot compared to a split shot.
So you can reuse your same device. That's kind of the beauty of using a PHP Hydra. It's a very well supported, hardware. But you will need to get tuning that matches the new injector size.
Okay.
And what we recommend for that is I recommend getting it from PHP. They have what they call their Titan Unlock. It's at least a really good place to start. Basically you just give them your serial number from the chip. I think it's $150. And then it just, next time you plug your chip into a computer and have Hydra Flash open, like the software you use for interfacing with the Hydra, it'll give you a list of files, not just for the stock truck like you get right now, but for like modified injectors, you know, built transmissions and things like that. Gives a much larger library of files for modified injector trucks. That's a great place to start.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then, you know, down the road, if you find that you really want to get a little more granular on, you know, adjusting how it, you know, shifts or how it idles, or there's certain things you want adjusted, that's when you'd probably want to look at, you know, paying a more boutique custom tuning shop and spend some time on it. It gets real expensive, but it's usually not necessary. You're going to get a pretty dang good running truck just with a Titan Unlock and save a lot of money too.
Really? Okay. The Titan Unlock. Okay.
Yeah. And I know
that's why I got a little nervous.
Yeah. I know that I kind of threw in a lot of stuff out there too, and I'm not even covering everything. What'll end up making the most sense, I think, is, once we know what you're looking for, I'm going to send you a full like checklist. Like here are all the components it takes to get what you're trying to do, lined out. And we'll also give you a pretty good breakdown on like how and, what is the tuning and where do you get it and how do you interface with a chip? Like all that I can explain. I just kind of want to figure out first, what are you looking for? And then we can put that list together for you and make it a little simpler.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, it's probably frustrating for you because I just have too many questions. I've wanted to do stuff with this truck a long time. But to make it, like I said, as simple as possible, 400, you know, as close as I can get to that 400 number or, you know, as much as I can make without having to do all the other, you know, crazy head studs and all the other stuff. So as much power as you think, you know, possible with a stock truck before I have to go crazy, getting the power to the ground. So whatever that looks like, whatever the supporting mods are, I'd love to know all that. The turbo, I know that, you know, KC wants you to get the 300X, the stage one, that's 63, 68. Biggest question I have for you, and it'd be awesome if it was ever addressed, like on a podcast. I've went through so many diesel podcasts to try to hear the differences and pros and cons, is a T4 kit for our trucks and then a drop-in turbo. And, there, you know, I know there's some price, you know, advantages to a T4 because you're getting rid of the pedestal, but you know, there's pros and cons to both. And I've never heard a good podcast or anybody talk about like, don't do a T4 because of this, or it's this expensive compared to a drop in, or drop ins are better. The T4, it heats up, or you have these problems. And I just was curious if you had if you have a recommendation or like a hard no, don't do this, just go this way.
Sure.
Yeah.
So listen, you're going to find, if you look for answers, you're going to find every type of answer. The problem is that most people, and I'm not saying everyone's opinion's wrong, but most people's opinions are based on one experience. And I don't think that's good enough to have, it's worth taking into account for sure, but I don't think it really matters as much as like, if you haven't used both extensively, then it'd be hard to say one's better than the other, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to say that.
Okay. Yeah.
Nicer.
Based
on everything we've seen, here's the best way I could answer that. There's nothing, let's say performance wise, the way the truck's going to run, there's nothing wrong with the T4 kit. They're fantastic. You know, picking a proper turbo in this case, let's say like an S363 or an S364.5, like a BorgWarner charger would be great. The truck would run awesome. It will run equally as awesome with a comparable KC charger. And it's not a matter of KC turbos. Is a KC turbo better than a T4 turbo or a T4 mount kit with a similar size BorgWarner turbo? It's just a matter of, because KC turbos exist and their turbos are what they are, and you're looking at a build that's, you know, on a very reasonable smaller side, they're a great fit. That is not across the board. If you were looking at a 500 horsepower build, then there's basically no time where I'd recommend a drop in, even though KC has options that work with that. There's the, for a build like what you're looking at, their stage one turbo and a BorgWarner, let's say like 363, they perform nearly identically. It's just going to cost a lot more money to move to a T4 kit than use a drop-in. And so there's not, unless you just really want a T4 kit for some other reason, example would be, some guys like the way they look. They want to powder coat the pipes and make it really sexy under the hood, and that matters enough to pay more money for it, then sure, that's fine. It's not a bad route to go, but it is going to cost about $1,000 more to go that route, and there's not really going to be a performance benefit. I specifically mean on a build like this. Like I said, if you're doing a different build, something that's a lot bigger, then it's a different answer. But in a build like this, both are going to perform nearly identical.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad I heard it from you. I just didn't know if it cooled better, if it just flowed better air. Just didn't know if it just, because you are getting rid of, some big, components that are on a drop in. Mm-hmm. And was just curious. I just didn't know if people just didn't want to spend the money, but it was worth it. You know, you don't see a lot of them, especially out here, but it's just one of those items that I've never really heard addressed. People that have them love them.
Yeah,
everybody has a drop in, they love them. I've never heard anybody that's had both and said, here you go, this is what I'd like to do, or what I would have done the first time. And that's kind of where this phone call is with you. It sounds like from all your experience and from all your podcasts, everything you've done, you've put a lot of money into your 7.3. And there's a lot of things you've done that now, if you had to go all the way back again, you would know exactly what to do and would have saved a ton of money.
and, you know, would have got to the end goal where you wanted to be. Like, you just, you know, made a lot of mistakes and learned a lot along the way. Not even a mistake, like just learning points along the way that got you to where you are now. And these trucks have been out long enough now to where it feels like I can just now finally call someone like you and go, okay, send me the plan. And if that's it and gets me there, then awesome. I'm just going to start buying it and getting it and then do it. Where before, you know, the last 10 years, when I get my mindset on something, all of a sudden, you know, a year later, something comes out. It's like, oh, you should have done that. Don't do this, do this. I'm like, gosh, damn, I'm glad I didn't, you know, it's like getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
Great at the time. And a couple years later, you're pissed. So
yeah,
well, that's what I need from you, kind of, you know, is what I was hoping to get from you.
Yeah. And you'll find, you know, different people are going to have different answers. Let's say you went with a T4 kit. I don't think you would be upset that you did that. I think, you know, you would be like everybody else that goes with a T4 kit. You say, man, this thing is great. Was it worth $1,000 more? Like, probably not. I mean, if you had a drop in, you'd probably be equally as happy, but that doesn't mean you'd be unhappy with a T4 kit. It's just, is it worth spending more money for you? And I would say, like, just objectively, which one is going to be a better choice for, like, the cost and performance, I would say that would be a drop in, you know, Casey stage one in this case. But if you have an alternate reason to want something else, then that's, you know, it's worth taking into account. You know, another example, just to kind of give you the, like, my idea of what the logic is in this, there's no reason to buy a complete, like, fuel system. There's no reason to spend, you know, $1,200-$1,300 on a, like, replace the entire fuel system just from a, you know, performance or reliability standpoint on a build like this. Said, one of the reasons why people that are doing a build like this still buy an entire fuel system is, you know, one example is, you know, we have guys that have, like, farm trucks. They got a bunch of equipment, a bunch of, you know, Duramaxes with fast systems and Cummins with, you know, fast and stuff in them. And they want all of their trucks to have the same fuel filters on the frame rail. And that might be a reason to go within a complete fuel system like that, because it can just have the same filter base, buy two of the same filters, and all the trucks have the same thing. And so there's always alternate routes for alternate reasons. And, you know, if you've got some reason why you would want something else, then it's worth talking about. But just if we're saying, as base, what is going to work very well and be cost effective, then that's what, like, a drop in, you know, Casey stage one. Specifically, I would use unlimited 175/30 injectors, you know, like a CNC fab, stage two HPOP, and four line feed kit, you know, Hutch mod, and new tuning. And that's going to be a good setup. It will be. Is there other routes you could go that also will work? Then yes, there is other routes that will work, but there's not really a need to deviate unless you have a need to deviate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So I don't think it was IDP. I'm not sure. If someone makes, I thought they were on your podcast, they make a dual Bosch system, you know, where you can actually have it on a switch to run either pump, you know, so if you lost one, you had another one. I just like the redundancy. I thought that was cool when I heard about it and stuff, and I found it. I don't know if it was on your way, if it was IDP or who makes that.
There's a couple of them. Strictly Diesel makes a system with dual Bosch pumps. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it was them. And that was the only reason I liked that. When you're talking about it, like a big system that I don't need for, I guess, this build, it was just the redundancy if I lost a pump at some time. I mean, the truck is, how old is this truck? I mean, it's, you know, over 20 years old. And I haven't lost a pump yet. But I don't think I need two of them right now. But exactly what you just said, the build and how you would do it, that's kind of what I want to know. And anything else you would throw at it is what I just want to know. And then I just want to be able to start ordering it and getting it. Now, if I start ordering this, just a question, just entertain me for 1 second. Would you do one thing at a time and drive it for a while and then go to the next mod, drive it for a while? Or would you, if you had the truck, would you tear it all down and get all these boxes and put all this stuff on there and fire it up and keep your fingers crossed? Or would you kind of want to do one thing at a time and test it, make sure it works, there's no leaks or this or that, that nothing fouled up the truck? So if anything goes wrong, you know, okay, well, it has to be here because it's what I changed. Or do you just kind of go for it?
And in this case where you're at right now, I would probably just go, I would do most of the work at the same time, unless there's like, if you're trying to budget it out and do it over time, that's fine. But there's not a like mechanical reason to not just do everything at once. Mostly because, you've already done the first step we recommend, which is you've already ran the truck tuned, you've monitored its health, and it's running very well as is. There's no known mechanical problems as it is, which are two things we like to address before doing any sort of build. And so as you sit right now, there's good reason to want to do most of what we're talking about at one time. And that is anytime you address anything on the top side of the fuel system. So whether that's a complete fuel system or like a 4-line feed kit, the turbo, let's say like the turbo has to come out to do that. If you're going to pull the turbo, there's no reason to do that. If you're intending to do everything anyway, you might as well do the turbo and the fuel system at the same time. You know, it sounds like you've already got up pipes, so that doesn't have to change. If you're going to do injectors, like injectors are pretty useless to upgrade if you don't have a turbo for them. Because you're it's just going to get hot. So if you're running on a stock turbo now, you could put the injectors in and it will work, but you're not going to be able to use any more power than it does with stock injectors until you have a turbo for it. And so everything kind of relies on each other to work correctly. It's a complete build. It's a system that needs to function correctly, and every component needs to be working right. And so you can do it in stages, but from where you sit right now, there's no reason to do it in stages from a mechanical standpoint. I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Yeah, no, it does. It does. I know better to throw injectors in there with the stock turbo. I haven't even put a wheel on it, and it already has turbo surge, bad, especially if I'm pulling a hill with a trailer. I got to come off it big time. I knew the turbo would have to be before the injectors. And then I was like, well, then I'll put the oil pump before I put the injectors. So then I put the injectors, I got the oil for it. Even though they weren't that big, stock pump probably could run it. Stuff like the 4-line feeds and all that, I know if I'm up there and everything's off, then okay. Do I tear in and go ahead and do it? And, when you send this sheet to me, I don't know if also you recommend it. Like I said, it's asking a lot, I guess. The recommendations as far as like the plenums, like do I want to go to riffraff and get like bigger, better plenums? Do you want, of course, get the new pedestal with the delete on it? That's something, that I know I need to do. Just get that, delete that, get the new pedestal. And then it's like, the intake manifold itself. There's a couple different companies that just make a whole new intake manifold. AFD makes, one that's completely separate. It's like a two piece, and the other ones are to get, like, I don't know how much experience you have with all this, and if you've seen every single part, in your shops, and you're just like, don't go, just stick to these, stick to these manufacturers, get these parts, you'll be happy. Sure. Spend your money once, cry once. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is when I send you this list, it's going to be everything that's needed to have an optimal setup. Everything that's not listed does not mean that you can't change it, but it's not needed. Intake spider is not going to affect the truck in any way that's noticeable. Positively, affect the way the engine runs? Will positively affect airflow? Sure, probably. Enough to matter at all? No, not at all.
So I got you.
It's not that they don't do anything, but it's not. There's far bigger things to worry about than that. Same thing with the plenums.
It's not going to make or break the truck. So I don't. Okay, I see what you're saying.
There's very little, if not nothing, to be gained by it.
Okay, gotcha. That's the biggest thing then. Just knowing, exactly what are the big things. What need to be addressed and what they are. And then just basically a guide to how to go get them. I just want to, just be able to find these parts, be able to start getting them and get this thing built.
Yeah. The other thing I'll mention is the list is going to contain everything all the way down to like what transmissions, know, if it was manual, what clutch and stuff like that. Up pipes, it's going to recommend up pipes and all that. Obviously, it's a checklist. And anything that you've already done, there's no, you don't need to like buy more up pipes. That's fine. Just use what you currently have if they're billet up pipes. But it's a guide from start to finish. So, and then once you get a chance to read through it, if you have questions, just give us a call, shoot back an email. We're happy to answer anything that comes up.
Okay. And all of this is you can purchase this straight from most of it from your website.
Yeah, pretty much everything. The stuff we deal with.
Okay.
Yep.
And I mean, I saw Chasing Turbo, I think, because you even have them on your website, correct? I believe.
Yeah, we're a dealer for KC Turbos too. Yep.
You're a dealer. So it's just the same going through you. Okay, perfect. One last question. I'm just curious real quick. Do you ever see headers on a 7.3?
Yeah, some people run them. There's a couple of manufacturers of them. They usually don't make sense. One, they're really expensive. And two, they don't tend to last as long. They tend to be more prone to cracking, like at the weld points and stuff. And there's not, again, it's the manifolds are not a major restriction. There are far worse things that are not even really addressable, like head flow issues that are more of a problem than manifolds. The time where they make sense is when you've already done everything else, you're pushing the truck as hard as you can, and you want to you'll pay any amount of money for the tiniest bit of gain, then stuff like that starts to make sense. But if you're, there's not going to be a massive benefit to them. No.
Okay. I saw them on a 7.3 just a few weeks ago. I didn't even know they made them. I just was tripping out that they had headers. I just didn't know they did. So.
Yeah. Well, it's not like
that was something new to the world.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's not one of the things I would put on my list up front, that's for sure.
Hey, thank you guys for listening. This was episode 61 of the 1020 The Soul Shop Talk podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in tomorrow. Like I said, the next 5 days, we're going to share these conversations. The build list for what we recommend on this type of build is always going to be linked in the description of the podcast, or if you're listening on YouTube, it'll be linked down below. My apologies. These are not video podcasts. They're just they're phone conversations. So check it out in the link in the description below if you're interested in the build list. And if you just want to hear more builds that apply to you, well, one, email us, media@1020.com. If you're on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, please leave a 5-star review if you enjoy this and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. And check us out, 1023diesel.com. If you have questions or if you want to be part of one of these conversations, the build call list is linked below. Just fill out a form, schedule a time, and you can be part of this. You can be on the show. So join us. Talk to you soon.